Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Sometimes I climb so far, only to backslide. Lord, I may be sliding back, but I will not abandon you.
Hallelujah. One thing that I pray to the Lord every day is that I want to make sure that our members will make it to heaven, that I will not be surprised on that day when we all go to heaven or when Jesus Christ come back and I find out that some of you do not make it to heaven. It will be a surprise to me. Therefore, I pray that you all will have a personal relationship with Christ. You all repent and obey the Lord. Today we would like to talk about the message of Christmas. We want to talk about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And many of you here are parents like me. How many people are parents here? Have kids? Okay. I believe that you agree with what I say right now, that every time a child is born into your house, you give birth to a child in your house, a new love is born in your heart. I remember that one of my kids asked me when Paul was born, one of the kids asked me, will you love Paul more than me? And I say, no, the love for the kids is not that way. No matter how many kids we have, the love for the older sibling will never be diluted. Is that right? So every time the new baby is born, the new love come in. And the love for other kids still there. That is the love of God that God put into the hearts of the parents. Therefore, my love for Joy and Tanida and Paul, all the same. When Paul was born, my love for Paul and Tanida and Joy never went down. It still increased every day. Amen. And the Bible say like this, God is love. God is eternal and God is love. So when God was born into the human being through Mary, in fact, love was born into the world. Because God is love. When Jesus was born, love was born into the world. And the world begins to see the love of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says like this in 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. So when Jesus was born 2,000 years ago, love came into the world. So when we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate the love of God. We celebrate the birth of love into the world. And we'll begin to experience the love of God. Amen. Now, when we talk about the word love, when somebody say, I am in love, the question come up like this. With whom do you love? You cannot love without an object or without a person that is love. When you say, I love, you need to follow, love somebody. You cannot just say, I love, and then blank. Whom did God love? It's you. God loved all of you. That's why He came into the world. God was born into the world to show love to all mankind, you and me. No matter what nationality, no matter what background, no matter what you went through in your life, God loves all of you. Amen. Now look at what the Bible says in Luke chapter 2 verses 9 to 11. An angel declared the birth of Jesus Christ. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Everyone say, all the people. And that includes you. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. 2,000 years ago, love was born into the world to show love to you, to reach out to you. We all are the object of love that God wants to give. Amen. In Luke chapter 2 verses 1 to 7, talking about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, I would like to read this powerful scripture to you. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. This is a story about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know the story that Mary was a young lady. She was just very young. I don't know the age for sure, maybe 16 to 18. And she was engaged with Joseph. At that time, the word engagement is equal to marry. So you cannot have other men. If you start to flirt with other men, it's equal to committing adultery. And angel Gabriel came to her and said, the baby in your womb was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. And she received the mission of God. She said, okay, I would become a mother of the Son of God. And one day, she was pregnant. And as you know, Joseph was very upset when he heard that. Joseph was shocked and cannot accept it. But by the grace of God, an angel appeared to Joseph too and told him that just take her and receive her into your life, because the baby that would be born was the Son of God. In fact, Joseph was a righteous man, and he planned to divorce her quietly, did not want to disgrace her. So they both came together. But at that time, Caesar Augustus commanded all the Jewish people to go back to their hometown to register into their family line. As you know, Joseph came from the family line of David, and they had to travel to Bethlehem. It was about 4 to 5 miles south of Jerusalem. They had to travel from Nazareth, past Jerusalem, and down to Bethlehem. And that was not an easy travel, not easy journey. While they were traveling at the last stage of the pregnancy, look at what happened at that time. Jesus was born. The Bible says, I read a while ago, that she gave birth to her first son, the firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Every time I read about this story, I was so touched by the love of God, that God chose to be born in a stable. You know who is the first visitor who witnessed the birth of the Son of God? Not the rich man, not the wealthy people, not the influential people, but the animals in that stables. The animals were the first who saw the birth of the Son of God. Not only that, can you imagine? The King of all kings was born in the stable, with animals around, without any beautiful crib, without any beautiful clothes, but need to use the kind of tip, just normal, ordinary cloth to wrap around him and put him in the manger. This is interesting to read this story, because it means that God loved mankind so much that he tried to tell mankind that he came to the world to reach out to all kinds of people. Amen. Jesus was not born in a palace. He was not born in a rich home. He was not born in a very sophisticated hospital with all the equipment. He chose to be born in a simple, low-key place. As God, he left the heavenly place with all the gold and jewelry and splendor and glory. And he was born in a very, very lowly place. The Bible says like this in the book of Philippians chapter 2 verses 6 to 10. Though he was God, he did not demand and cling to his rights as God. He made himself nothing. He took the humble position of a slave and appeared in human form. And in human form, he obediently humbled himself even further by dying a criminal's death on the cross. Because of this, God raised him up to the heights of heaven and gave him a name that is above every other name, so that at that name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. God humbled himself with all the glory and splendor. He laid aside his glory and was born into the human form in a very lowly place that no one wanted to be there. You know that nowadays, I believe that all the moms have the same feeling like Mary. When you start to get pregnant, you're thinking about preparing the room, painting the room, buying a crib, and get the clothes. That's why in America, when I first came to the U.S., people talk about baby shower. And I say, what is that? Because I did not have that in Thailand. And later on, I find out, oh, it's a party that all the people will buy many gifts, including clothing, the cribs, and car seats, and all kind of necessary things for the baby, so that the mom will not have to run around buying those things. It's a way of preparing for the birth of the new member of a home. Is that right? Baby shower. Mary did not have a chance to have a baby shower. She had to run off from Nazareth. In fact, a lot of people rejected her in her hometown because she got pregnant before getting married. She went there without any clothes for the baby, no cribs, no car seats, or maybe donkey seat. There's no car at that time. They don't have donkey seat. They have nothing. And normally when you give birth to a baby, you kind of expect your relative and your close friend to show up in the hospital with some soup, with a smile on the face, look at the baby, oh, the baby's so beautiful. Everyone celebrate, come in with the camera, come in with the digital camera and take picture, and you lie in the bed and carry the baby and take a beautiful picture. Everyone want to celebrate the new coming of the baby. But can you imagine? Joseph and Mary were alone with animals, with sheep and cows. No cribs, but manger. No one came from their family because they were far away from home by themselves. No one came and from their family, no close friend come around and say, oh, so good, so good, so good. They don't have even clothing for Jesus. They have to wrap him in a piece of cloth and lie in the manger. You can see here that God chose the most humble position to show to mankind that he loved mankind so much. He loved you and me so much that he is willing to come in the lowly place, the forgotten place. People did not know about his birth except a few people. Amen. How many people are encouraged that God loved you so much, that God is willing to choose the lowest position to reach out to you? You may say that, you know, I'm not that lowly position in society. But God tried to say that I come that way to show you that I can reach out to the lowest, to the highest in the society. God come to reach out to all men. Now look at the story. Continue to read the story about the love of Jesus, about love was born on Christmas. In Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Think about this. If you are in the business of PR, or you are in the marketing business, you try to make people know about your, you know, product and what happened in your church. In a normal way, what you're going to do to announce the coming of the king. I think many of you, if you were God, you might have gone to Jerusalem. Is that right? And then shout from the top roof and say, "The Son of God is born!" You would go to Jerusalem. But actually, that is not a nice idea. Because Herod, the king of Jerusalem at that time, the king of the Jews at that time, should not be the king. He was not even a Jew. And he wanted to kill Jesus if he knew that Jesus was born. So God knew there's not a right place to announce the birth of Jesus. How about this? You did not have to go to Jerusalem. You just went to Bethlehem and knock on the door of every house and say, "Wake up, wake up, wake up. The Son of God was born. The King of all kings, the Messiah is here now. The baby, the Messiah." Did the angel do that? Knocking on the door, waking up all the people? No. God chose the most lowly people, insignificant people. The shepherds in that time did not have good reputation. They were not well accepted in town. They were poor. They were in the field looking, watching after the sheep. And at night time, they were sitting there, the shepherd that no one cared about. They were not influential people. They were not noble people. They were not highly educated people. The angels, the army of angels show up and told them about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. God doesn't do things in the traditional way. Traditionally, he should have gone to Jerusalem. He should have knocked the door. He should have put the news in the TV and radio. But he chose this way to tell the lowly people, unaccepted people in society. What does it mean here? It means that God accepts you no matter who you are or no matter what background you have. In fact, at the time of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the first person that heard about the resurrection of Jesus Christ was a woman. And then after that, a group of women heard about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If the story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ was a makeup story, the writer would not write that down, slip in the word women. Why? Because in the society at that time, people looked down on women. And not only that, at that time, in those days, women were not accepted as reliable witnesses. But God showed himself after he came back to life to women. So we learn from the story here that Jesus always refused to follow the immoral thinking of the society that looked down on women. Amen. Jesus honored women too. He honored both man and woman. And not only that, Jesus did not use the traditional way. The way he announced his birth is not the way that the marketing company would do today. He would use other ways. The marketing company would not do that way. Let us imagine again how God loved the world, how God loved people of all kinds. And he came to the shepherds who were not significant at all. Think about this, that at that time at night, they were sitting in the dark sky with stars in the sky. And then suddenly, the most brilliant light shone upon them. And the big crowd of angels came and sang beautiful songs about the birth of Jesus Christ. You think the angels will appear like this on a regular basis? This is the only time that mankind saw a big group of angels singing in the sky. The only time. Is that right? Looking throughout the Bible, never happened again. Never happened in Seattle. It didn't happen in year 2005. And I don't think it's going to happen in year 2007. It happened only one time. But to which group of people? Rich people? Influential people? No, it happened to simple, low-key people. Amen? Some of you who are very smart in this room, you may think, God, why don't you just buy a very powerful, expensive speaker, put on the moon, and have a very powerful mic, the Archangel Gabriel, and shout onto that microphone with big speaker and say, the world, look at here. The Savior is born. Did he do that? No. Did he use this way that he went to Sanhedrin and say, we have a choir from heaven. Let's set up a choir in the street of Jerusalem and sing this beautiful caroling in the big street of Jerusalem. Did he do that? No. What did he do? He chose a very desolate place. In the middle of the field, with a few shepherds. Let's think this way. If you are an angel that was singing in that choir, think about this. For 200 years, you were rehearsing, practicing, anticipating the glorious presentation of singing in the choir for the birth of the Son of God, the King of all kings. For 100 years, you were arranging the stage, ready for the big concert. Following me, okay? If you are one of the angels, building the stage, ready to go out to sing, perfect, in tune, in time, everything perfect in singing for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Archangel Gabriel walked out and announced to the shepherd that the Son of God was born. And then turn around and the curtain pull off. And then Archangel Gabriel say, now you're on. So all these 1,000 angels start to sing. But when the curtain opened, they saw 5 to 6 shepherds. After preparing this concert for 200 years, preparing all the stage, but only 6 poor, insignificant people sitting with the sheep. I think the first reaction you would have is that, who make the poster? Who make the PR in this church? Why only 6 people show up in a great Christmas service? I think many of you might be upset with God. Might be upset with Archangel Gabriel and to the pastor. I practiced skit for many, many months, but only 6 people show up. And they were not even rich people. They were insignificant people. Are you learning something here? But the angels sang beautifully. They sang to the best ability, in tune, perfect singing that day, to announce the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ to only 6 people with a few hundred sheep around there. So what we learn here is that Jesus was born for all the people. He doesn't really look just for wealthy people, rich people, influential people, noble people. He was born for you and me. Even if one person, you, accept Jesus Christ, he would come and die for you anyway. Amen? Even one person in this room accepted Jesus, he would still come. Even though you may not have any special name, you don't have any high education in this place, you may not be influential people in this society, but Jesus still come and die for you anyway. He come for all the people. Amen. Are you glad that God loves us so much? That he did not only come for significant people. In fact, if you read the Bible, I read for you in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 26 to 31. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised thing, and the things that are not to nullify, mean to make it zero, the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him. It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us with wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. The Bible says that even though God may choose some wise, noble, rich, influential people to do the work of God, but God normally chose simple people like you and me. Amen. When I read this scripture, I really can identify with what it says. You may not know that even though after 20 years of preaching on the pulpit here in this church, 17 years here, but I have been preaching for 20 years, especially in America, I still feel every Sunday, Saturday and Sunday, that God, how are we going to make it this Sunday to preach on the stage, on the behind the pulpit? And I feel nervous because English is not my mother tongue language. It's not easy to speak, to preach another language for 40 minutes. I feel so inadequate. I feel, God, why you chose me, a person who cannot speak English perfectly, to preach on Sunday. And I feel so humble. I feel that, God, you try to make people know that God can use a weak person like me to do the job. Amen. That's why I cannot come up without the anointing. It's impossible to preach without the anointing, because I'm so weak, I'm so inadequate inside me by my nature. God chose the weak. God chose people who look insignificant in the world. Amen. And God can use you too if you are willing to be used of God. Mary and Joseph were not rich. Mary was a simple woman. Joseph was a simple carpenter. But God chose them and used them. Amen. Are you glad that God is a God who always loves people and uses people who are simple like you and me? How many people want to be used of God? Amen. And the good news is that love was born into the world for all the people, and you are one of all the people. Amen. You can be saved. What is the message about Christmas? Yesterday, I was one of the last shopper. Yesterday, we went out to Bellevue Mall, and Pastor Dao was like, run around everywhere, try to buy the gift, the last minute shoppers. I was walking with her with a bunch of bags, and tired because I didn't have much sleep. And I was thinking that, oh, I saw so many hundreds of people in that shopping mall. And I was asking myself and asking God, how many people in this room, really in this building, Bellevue Mall, really, really know the real meaning of Christmas? You go out to buy gift, you calculate $25, $50, how much that person should get, and you look, and you kind of think about, oh, if that person opened this gift, is he going to be happy, or are you going to be like this, you know? You think that you want to make people happy. You buy good gifts for people. Is that right? It's about joy. It's about being blessed and being loved. But I want to tell you the true message of Christmas is not about that gift alone, but it's about life and death. You say, Pastor, why you talk about death around here in the Christmas time? But it's true. Christmas is about life and death. It's not about the gift from Bellevue Mall or from Nordstrom, but it's about life and death. And unfortunately, a lot of people never thought about death. They think that they're going to live for another 200 years. But in reality is that we're going to die one day. And not only that we're going to die one day, a lot of people never even thought about what happened after we die. No one even think about it. That's why I was so blessed to read the story about Pastor Kenneth Hagin. This story is that he was a young man, about 15 years old, sick with blood disease, heart disease. He could not get up, and the doctor said that he would die for sure within a year. he was a member of a Baptist church. This is a true story. And then suddenly he stopped breathing, and he feel that he himself, which means his spirit, slip off his body and then go down. His body was going down, 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 and darker and darker and darker. Suddenly he saw fire. And he saw a creature try to grab his hand to go through the door of hell. And he heard somebody speak language that he never understand. And that creature let him go and let him go back. And this happened 3 times. He almost went down to hell even though he was a member of the Baptist church. By the third time, after the third time, he came back. He felt that his spirit slipped into his body again. He shouted the third time, "Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior. I repent of my sin." And at that time, he was saved and he didn't die. A year later or so, less than a year later, he was healed by the glory of God. The glory of God showed up in his room, that even his mom and his relative could not get into the room. They spring off like this. They try to walk into the room. They bounce off from the room because of the glory of God show up in that room. And he was completely healed and became a preacher for many years. He just died a couple of years ago of old age. Heaven and hell are real. Christmas is about heaven and hell. Christmas is not about a gift from Nordstrom or Bon Marché. The real meaning of Christmas is that God gives you a gift, and it's your choice to unwrap the gift. And that gift is salvation. It's changing from death to life. To be born again and have a chance to live a new life and go to heaven. Let's look at what the Bible says in John chapter 3, 16 to 21. This is the message of Christmas. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because of their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. Jesus talking about darkness and light. Light is symbolic of the kingdom of heaven. Talk about God, about righteousness, about peace, about joy, about goodness of God. But darkness is talking about rebellion, about sin, about hell, about sickness and disease, about curses, about the kingdom of darkness, kingdom of Satan. Do you know that every human being was born with rebellion in their heart? Everyone rebelled against God before they were born again. Therefore, every human being grew up as an enemy of God. They make war against God. And that's why Jesus came into the world. Because with sin inside, darkness is inside. You cannot go to heaven. Jesus came into the world to bring peace, to bring reconciliation between man, the rebellious, and God, the Creator. So when you accept the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are reconciled to God. And your sin, the wages of your sin, were paid by God, by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he was nailed on the cross to pay for your sin. He was nailed on the cross to pay for your punishment. And when you accept that, you are reconciled to God. And then peace and the favor of God comes into your life. That is the good news. That is the meaning of Christmas. You are out of death or darkness into light and life. there is a Hebrew language, the word shalom. The word shalom means living in a state of peace, joy, love, and righteousness. God wants to give you shalom. You will never have true peace or shalom unless you are reconciled to God. I noticed that many people in the world, they have money, they have position, they have job, they are promoted, they have everything under the sun. In fact, in America, we have so much. We have so much. We have games, we have, you walk into somebody's house, they have 5 TV sets. They have maybe 3 iPods, 5 computers. We have everything. We have all the stuff, all the things in the world that can offer to you. But they have no peace. You will never have peace until you reconcile to God. Because sin is the thing that is destroying you. Sin is darkness. Darkness comes all over you until you say, God, I'm sorry, I repent of my sin, and I want to be reconciled to God. And I tell you that after that, those materials are not big deal anymore. I told Pastor Dad yesterday, we were walking in the shopping mall for 3 and 4 hours. We look at the stuff, and the Pastor Dad said, oh, you should buy that one. I think you deserve a new shirt. This is nice shirt. I said, I don't need this. I don't need this stuff. I'm happy. I have more than enough. Only I have Jesus in my heart. I'm happy. Is that right? I say that. I'm happy already because I have peace with God. I have shalom. I'm living in a state of peace and joy and righteousness and happiness. The materialistic thing doesn't thrill me anymore. I'm just happy with God. God is wonderful. Amen? That's what God wants to give to you at Christmas. This is the real meaning of Christmas. The real meaning of Christmas is the gift from God for all the people to be reconciled to God and to come out from sin and darkness and to have eternal life. Look at the Bible continue to say about the shepherd. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see. Everyone say, go and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurry off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told them about this child. Everyone say, spreading the word. There are 3 things that the shepherd did. Number 1, they go. Number 2, they see. And number 3, they tell. The same thing here. I remember that when somebody told me about the Bible and about Jesus, I was very curious about God. At that time, I was a Buddhist. I didn't care much about God. I was actually anti-God, anti-Christianity. But somebody told me about the Bible and told me about the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing I did, I went. I went to the Bible study group. I went to the church and I saw the love of God in that church. I saw the people so happy. People look different from me. Even though I have high education, even though I have money, but I was not happy. I went and saw the goodness of God in that church, in that Bible study group. And then I accepted Jesus Christ. Right after I accepted Jesus Christ, I went to my sister named Aura. She's still in the church now. I told her that, sister, come with me. I want to show you that there's God that can help you. I showed her the movie from Campus Crusade, Jesus. And she got saved that day. Then I went to the hospital and I told all of my patients and the nurses about Jesus. And then I showed the Jesus movie again and many medical students accepted Christ that day. You go, you see, and you spread the news. You tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God wants you to do. God doesn't want you to keep the good news with yourself. In the year 2007, I want to challenge you the coming year. Why don't we all go and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't we go and invite people to come? They need to come and see. Is that right? If they sit at home, they don't see the love of God among us, they will not be able to understand who Jesus is. Go out. Invite them to come and see the love of God in the church. See the power of God in the church. And then they will be saved and go to heaven with you. I want to challenge all of you next year that don't keep the good news with yourself. Set the plan that every one of your family, your brothers, your sibling, your son, your daughter, your mom, your dad, everybody will be saved next year. Pray about it. Go tell them. Don't be happy if your mom and dad are not saved yet. Amen? Don't be satisfied. That's what I mean. But reach out to them. Pray for them. Invite them to come to care group. Invite them to come to church. Don't just go to heaven by yourself. Go and tell people about the love of Jesus Christ. Do you have anyone in your life or in your family that have not been saved? That have no ticket to heaven yet? Anyone? Will you do something about it? Will you tell them about it? I did tell my dad. I did tell my mom. My mom was saved. My dad was saved. I told my older brother. His name is Sam. And now he's saved. I kept telling people. I'm going to keep telling people that the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer to them. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I had a good time on Friday night. And on Thursday, I brought one person from the hospital to see the nativity. We were watching, I was crying when I was watching that movie about the love of God that wow. I was thinking this way. Jesus chose to come into the world in the time of Roman Empire. He can choose to come now with Toyota and Honda and nice Bellevue Mall. But he chose to come in the time that they have to walk and on the donkey and with the Roman soldier try to kill them. And God, you love me so much. You chose to come into the world at the time of hardship like that. Wow, I don't want to be there at that time. I love to be here now. That I can drive my car and I can go to Bellevue Mall without problem. I don't want to walk to Bellevue Mall. They'd have to walk from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. And I was so glad Friday night, that man that I brought to the movie came to me and said, "This is a good movie. I learned so much." Oh, right away, I shared the gospel. I say, "Oh, you know, God loved you. Jesus came and died. He's the King of all kings. He wants you to be saved." I was standing there with the scrubs with the glove in my hand and with sharing, waiting for x-ray to take x-ray on my patient's body. So we were waiting for x-ray to come back when we shared the gospel. It's so wonderful. Amen. Hallelujah. So you need to share the gospel with people. Amen. Hallelujah. I think that man is more open now. Amen. Yes, he's more open. I remember many years ago when I started working with him, when I talk about Jesus, he was like, I don't want anything about religion. But now he listened. And I took him out for dinner, and he even asked me, "Could you pray first?" I say, "Wow, he come closer to know God now." Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How many people promise God next year, I'm going to do everything to bring the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ to people around me? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know how many of you have not known Jesus yet. You may grow up in a church. You may even become a member of a church. You may even read the Bible before. But if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I tell you that you will not make it to heaven. Jesus wants to have a personal relationship with you. You need to be reconciled to God. God is calling you today. God said that I sent my son to die for you. You. Everyone say me. Not the person next to you only, you too. God wants to save you. God wants you to go to heaven. God wants you to have a new life, an abundant life. God wants to bless you. He's a good God. He loves you so much. What you need to do, very simple. Say yes to God. God, I accept your love. Love was born on the Christmas day. And today, I want that love to come into my life. Could you please come in? But you cannot just sit there doing nothing and God gonna come in. God is a gentle person. He will not break into your house without you inviting him. You need to say to God, "God, yes, I invite you to come in. I repent of my sin. Could you please come into my life right now? I would like to encourage everyone in this room to be born again and to accept Jesus Christ into your life. How many people want to go to heaven and be reconciled to God? Raise your hand up. Raise your hand up. How many people want to go to heaven? Raise your hand up. Amen. Amen. How many people say that, I want to make sure today that I'm really born again. I don't want to be like Pastor Kenneth Hagin. That day I was shocked that I was going down. I want to go up to heaven. How many people want to make sure to do that? Raise your hand up. Amen. Hallelujah. If you want to make sure, I want to encourage you. Why don't you come out here? I don't care how much room here. We just come out here together today. We really make a decision that we are born again and we're going to go to heaven and our sins are forgiven. Amen. Why don't we all come here and say, I will give my life to Jesus Christ. And we make sure we go to heaven. If you want to make sure, come out here. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want to invite you to come. If you want to make sure that you will go to heaven, come out here. I just want to make sure that our members go to heaven. That you all repent, you're born again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Children, you can be born again too. You can accept Jesus Christ and be born again. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else that you are not sure that you will go to heaven? And after you listen to this sermon, you say, God, I want to make sure that I make it to heaven. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, yes. Thank you, Lord, that you died for me. You came 2,000 years ago. Anyone else? Hallelujah. You know that you don't know that we have life tomorrow. Don't procrastinate. You're not sure that you're born again. Come out here. Give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Why don't you follow my prayer? Father in heaven, I repent of my sin.
I repent of my sins.
Today,
I declare
that Jesus Christ,
is
my Lord and Savior.
Is my Lord and Savior.
He died for my sin.
He died for my sin.
I'm reconciled to you today. Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. For coming into the world. 2,000 years ago.
2,000 years ago.
On the first Christmas.
On the first Christmas.
Today. I want to make sure. That I'm truly born again.
That I'm truly born again.
From today on. I will walk with you. And have a personal relationship with you.
And have a personal relationship.
You are my Lord.
You are my
My King.
My King.
My Master. Lord Jesus.
Forgive me.
In your name.
I pray.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Why don't we all stand up and sing a song together?
For you deserve all the praise.
Sing the first verse, Savior on a hill, dying for my shame.
A Savior on a hill.
dying for my shame. Could this be true? Defies the world I see. Yet this is all my heart was longing for, to know you, my Lord, to know you more.
Jesus came to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, and make disciples. You say that the work that you do, we will do also, and greater work than this we shall do. Father, use all of us, Lord, to go out and preach the gospel, to lay hand on the sick, and they shall recover, to cast out demons, to make disciples of all nations. Father, use all of us, Lord, to be productive and fruitful for the kingdom. Lord, that we will commit our life in a local church and do the great commission. Father, on that day when we stand before you and before the judgment seat of Christ, you will say that, good, well done, You are my faithful servant. Come and rejoice with me in the kingdom of heaven. Father, help us to be faithful to you, serving you until the last day of our life, Lord. Lord, strengthen us and anoint us by the power of the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to love you more this coming year. Help us to walk in the fear of God, Lord, that we will not sin against you, but we'll know you more, Father.
Amen.
Each day, we'll love you more.
Yes,
Lord. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that every sick person in this room shall be healed. In the name of Jesus Christ. I speak in the name of Jesus Christ that every demonic activity must go and leave the life and the body of the people in this room right now in Jesus' mighty name.
Yes, Lord.
You must go away in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Spirit of doubt, spirit of deception, spirit of hatred, unforgiveness must leave this place right now. The spiritual eyes of your people will be open and see the truth of God. In Jesus' mighty name, I speak freedom and liberty to the people in this room. Every soul shall be set free today by the power of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of God right now. And your people shall be fruitful and productive in the years and the days to come. In the name of Jesus Christ, I speak blessing. I speak joy. I speak righteousness. I speak peace and victory and prosperity and triumph to their life, to their family. Their loved ones shall be saved in the name of Jesus. Their kids shall be saved. Their loved ones shall come to know Jesus. Lord, I bless them in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Tonight we have candlelight service at 7 p.m. Amen. Please come early and park outside to give the place for guests. We're going to have many guests tonight. Amen. May the Lord bless all of you. Merry Christmas. God bless you.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.